Long before Cardinal Karol Wojtyła moved to Rome to lead the Roman Catholic Church, from his seat as the Archbishop of Krakow, he played a vital role in challenging communism's grip on Eastern Europe. His moral and political authority was rooted in his experience growing up and living under totalitarian rule in his native Poland. Those years focused his vision of freedom and his deep love for humanity. In turn, he brought a new pride to Poland and helped shape the country it is today. NPR's Emily Harris reports.
Karol Wojtyła was born at a rare moment. In 1920, Poland had just become independent for the first time in more than 100 years. George Weigel, author of a major biography of the Pope, says Wojtyła absorbed a theologically driven sense of history.
The Pope grew up in a Poland that had been reborn after 123 years of being erased from the map of Europe. Why did the Polish nation survive 120 years of political exile? It survived because of its culture, and at the heart of that culture was its Christian faith.
Wojtyła's family was devout. Friends remember him as a teenager ducking out of study sessions for quick prayer breaks in the kitchen. His mother died early, but Wojtyła once described his father's faith as creating kind of a seminary at home. Wojtyła was also deeply involved in drama. During the Nazi occupation, he joined an underground theater group, performing mainly Polish poetry. Halina Kwiatkowska also took part.
We performed Polish classics to fill the whole of the Nazi occupation. Most of our colleagues were fighting with guns in the underground, but we were fighting with words, Polish words that were forbidden. It was just as dangerous as fighting with a gun. It was very important because it was the spirit of Poland.
Highway traffic zooms by the only remaining building of the Solvay Chemical Company on the outskirts of Krakow. After 1 year at college, Wojtyła became a laborer at the plant mine, then in the chemical factory during the German occupation. Jacek Wojnarowski met Wojtyła later, after he was ordained. Wojnarowski remembers the young priest as shy and absorbed with complex philosophical thoughts, but able to learn from Poles from all walks of life.
He invited to his table for lunch or for dinner all sorts of people, from a medical body and from the university and from workers' unions and so on and so forth. In turn, he made them feel so easy that they talked very freely and sincerely about their problems with him.
Under communism, the Catholic Church was the one non-governmental institution allowed in Poland. Wojtyła taught at the only Catholic university in the Soviet sphere, in Lublin. A small faculty group started a deep philosophical study of the human condition. Biographer Weigel says experiences in both Nazi-occupied and communist Poland led the priests to define humanity in terms of people's aspirations to freedom.
And that was both an important thing to do in its own right, but it also turned out to have tremendous public consequences. The Second Vatican Council defined religious freedom as the first of human rights. Then Archbishop Karol Wojtyła played a significant role in the drafting of the Council's Declaration on Religious Freedom, so we can see how the Lublin Project, in fact, affected the life of the church throughout the world.
Many Poles credit John Paul II's first visit home as Pope in 1979 with inspiring the creation of Solidarity, the trade union movement which led to the fall of the communist government. Rosa Thun, who knew the Pope personally, says the message she heard throughout his papacy was about taking responsibility.
For maybe not only their own country, but for what's going on in the world. This responsibility of the human person. If you listen to his words seriously and treat him seriously, you are responsible for what's going on.
She says John Paul II continued to have an enormous impact on the social and political development of his homeland long after he left for the Vatican. Many Poles are simply proud he made the world aware of Poland. Emily Harris, NPR News.
To see a timeline, a photo gallery, and information on the papal transition, please go to our website, npr.org.